aware of a voice a long way off saying, "Well, that's me fitted, but she's never a size 20, and if I had a face like that, I'd never wear red." Lady Valentia d'Arrangement relaxed in the inner sanctum of the ladies' restroom. She removed her mask and fished an errant beauty spot from the depths of her décolletage. Then she reached around and down to try and adjust her bustle, an exercise guaranteed to produce the most ridiculous female gymnastics on every world except those where the panty girdle had been invented. Apart from being as well adapted a parasite as the oak bracket fungus, Lady Valentia d'Arrangement was by and large a blameless sort of person. She always attended events for the better class of charity, and made a point of knowing the first names of nearly all her servants, the cleaner ones, at least. And she was on the whole kind to animals, and even to children, if they'd been washed, and didn't make too much noise. All in all, she didn't deserve what was about to happen to her, which was the fate Mother Nature had in store for any woman in this room on this night who happened to have approximately the same measurements as Granny Weatherwax. She was aware of someone coming up behind her. "Excuse me, missus?" It turned out to be a small, repulsive, lower-class woman with a big, ingratiating smile. "What do you want, old woman?" said Lady Valentia. "Excuse me," said Nanny Ogg. "My friend over there would like a word with you." Lady Valentia looked around haughtily into icy, blue-eyed, hypnotic oblivion.
"What's this thing like an extra bump, hobo?"
"It's a bustle, Esme.
It's damn uncomfortable, is what it is. I keep on feeling someone's following me around."
"The white suits you, anyway." Granny donned her mask. It was an eagle's face in white feathers stuck with sequins. Nanny adjusted some unmentionable underpinning somewhere beneath her crinoline and straightened up.
"Caw, look at us," she said. "Them feathers in your hair really look good."
"I've never been vain," said Granny Weatherwax. "You know that, Githa. No one could ever call me vain."
"No, Esme," said Nanny Ogg. Granny twirled a bit.
"Are you ready then, Dame Ogg?" she said.
"Yes, let's do it, Lady Weatherwax."
The dance floor was thronged. Decorations hung from every pillar, but they were black and silver, the colours of the festival of Samedi Nuit Mort. An orchestra was playing on a balcony. Dancers twirled. The din was immense. A waiter with a tray of drinks suddenly found that he was a waiter without a tray of drinks. He looked around, and then down to a small fox under a huge white wig.
"Bugger off and get us some more," said Nanny pleasantly. "Can you see her, your ladyship?"
"There's too many people."
"Well, can you see the duck?"
"How do I know? Everyone's got masks on."
"Hey, is that food over there?"
Many of the less energetic or more hungry of the genuine nobility were clustered around the long buffet. All they were aware of, apart from sharp digs with a pair of industrious elbows, was an amiable monotone at chest height, on the lines of, "Mind your backs, stand aside there, coming through." Nanny fought her way to the table and nudged a space for Granny Weatherwax.
"Caw, what a spread, eh?" she said.
"Mind you, they have tiny chickens in these parts."
She grabbed a plate.
"I'll have three. Here, Charlie Chan."
A flunky stared at her. "Got any pickles?"
"I'm afraid not, ma'am."
Nanny Ogg looked along a table which included roast swans, a roasted peacock that probably wouldn't have felt any better about it even if it had known that its tail feathers were going to be stuck back in afterwards, and more fruits, boiled lobsters, nuts, cakes, creams and trifles than a hermit's dream. "Well, got any relish?"
"No, ma'am."
"Tomato ketchup?"
"No, ma'am."
"And they call this a gourmet paradise," muttered Nanny, as the band struck up the next dance.
She nudged a tall figure helping himself to the lobster.
"Some place, eh?"
"Very nice.
Good mask you've got there."
"Thank you."
Nanny was spun around by Granny Weatherwax's hand on her shoulder.
"There's Magrat."
"Where? Where?"
said Nanny. "Over there, sitting by the potted plants."
"Oh, yes, on the chassis longue,"
said Nanny. "That's sofa in foreign, you know," she added.
"What's she doing?"
"Being attractive to men, I think."
"What? Magrat?"
"Yeah, you're really getting good at that hypnotism, ain't you?"
Magrat fluttered her fan and looked up at the Comte de Yo-Yo.
"La, sir," she said, "you may get me another plate of lark's eggs, if you really must."
"Like a shot, dear lady."
The old man bustled off in the direction of the buffet. Magrat extended.